Ghana's properties abroad face possible liquidation as oil conglomerate Trafigura takes over the country's prime commercial property. Regina House in London owing to government failure to settle a 134 million judgment debt awarded by UK Tribunal.
Charging order gives the management of the property to TFTDC's solicitors or property appointees until the debt is paid.
Well, tonight, there is more unfolding as a fresh judgment secured by Trafigura's GPGC in the United States of America places all other diplomatic properties at risk of liquidation. Details as Vice President of Imani Ghana, Bright Simmons, reveals that Trafigura deal was one of the cheapest Ghana had.
The capacity charge or the capital recovery charge of 3.7 cents per kilowatt hour was very similar and in many cases lower than what we're paying as capacity charge to other plants.
Stay with us as we go deeper into this particular story. Remember, Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Well, tonight, it is imagined that Ghana's properties in the United Kingdom and America could be liquidated even without recourse to any claim of sovereignty under international law. These revelations are coming at a time when Ghana's High Commissioner to the United Kingdom, Papa Ouswa Nkuma, confirmed to Joy News that one of the country's prime commercial properties, the Regina House in London, has been taken over by Trafigura's Ghana Power Generation Company. Government's failure to settle a 134 million judgment debt awarded by UK Tribunal is the reason they have taken over that property.
What it is that the charging order gives the management of the property to GFTDC's solicitors or property appointees until the debt is paid. They cannot even sell the property. They haven't even applied to sell the property to defray the judgment debt. So for him to allege that we've not been truthful to the people of the country is very, very unfair. I've never said that. So the context, in the context of the application for charging order in respect of prime property of the government of Ghana, and I have them here. It was in 6 Cowley Gardens, London, 109 Millway, London, Regina House, Cheapside, 42 Kenneth Precinct, London, and 24 Wren Avenue. And then when our solicitors asked us, as custodians of this property, what the properties were being used for, we said that the four properties, Cowley Gardens, Millway House, Regina, Kenneth Precinct, and Wren Avenue, were being occupied by employees of the government of Ghana who are diplomats. It was not subject, would not be subject to any charging order. It's the Minister of Finance who holds the purse strings of the government of Ghana. And he, I'm sure, will be the best person to tell the people of Ghana how we are going to pay this debt.
Now, based on this receivership terms, how long does it look like this facility will be controlled by Trafigura?
Until we pay in full or come to an arrangement to pay with them.
Well, for 4 years, Trafigura has tried to retrieve its payment without success, as the government of Ghana could only release $1.8 million as part payment of the lump, and a reason for which the private firm press forward new international arbitration charges against Ghana in the United States of America. Now, Joy is learning of more explosive details in a judgment where it is imagined that the Republic of Ghana expressly waived its own diplomatic and sovereign immunities in this deal with Trafigura's Ghana Power Generation Company. Head of our diplomatic affairs desk, Blessed Soga, joins me with details on this particular development. Blessed, so what is the background to this particular case?
Well, this case actually dates back to February 2018 when the government of Ghana decided to enter an early termination of a power purchase agreement with the oil conglomerate Trafigura. Now, the point is that the government of Ghana believed that it has excess power generation, a reason for which it felt that at the time when the NDC administration was signing on to this deal, which entered into President Akufo-Addo's regime, there was a review committee that, you know, deemed the Trafigura intervention as unnecessary, a reason for which then the government proceeded to enter this early termination of the contract. But that then will accrue some cost to the state. Trafigura, in the year 2021, secured a tribunal ruling from the United Kingdom, which upheld that Ghana was due to pay $134 million, which is accruing as a result of the failure of the government of Ghana to respect the terms of the contract. It's the reason for which then the UK court decided to hand over or award this judgment in favor of Trafigura's Ghana Power Generation Company, which was to dismantle and move a power generation plant into the Republic of Ghana at a fee.
So if that is the case, why then did Trafigura file a fresh case in the United States?
If you travel along with the, you know, trajectory of this case, it appears that Trafigura was simply frustrated. Over the last 4 years, Trafigura has tried without success to get the government of Ghana to make some payments. They indicate that so far the Republic of Ghana has been able to cough up only 1.8 million Ghana cedis, a million United States dollars, I beg your pardon, which then just seems to be a drop in the ocean if you're looking at the wider margin of 134 million United States dollars, which is the judgment that awarded in the United Kingdom. So if you make some calculations on that, plus the compounding interest, the outstanding amount for the Republic of Ghana is a whopping 111.4 million United States dollars, which the government of Ghana was supposed to pay. They could not pay that amount, so the oil firm decided to go to the United States, obviously for its own interest, possibly identifying some more assets and interests of the Republic of Ghana that it could target now in the US. And that's why it went to the US court, asking the US court to then rule in its favor that the Republic of Ghana had indeed defaulted on the outstanding amounts. The US court upheld the case and in fact added additional what they call mandatory charges on the ruling of the default right now, which is standing at 111.4 million United States dollars, which will mean effectively that the government of Ghana would still need to pay some more amounts of money even after settling the 111.4 million United States dollars as default on the judgment.
Which is aside a 134 million lump.
It's not aside because the government of Ghana has been able to settle only 1.8 million. Mm-hmm. But if you're going by the tabulation and in fact speculations that the experts are making, that amount of 111.4 million United States dollars in itself might go even higher by the time the Republic of Ghana is ready to pay, because the Ghana High Commissioner in the UK is pointing to us now that there are serious financial challenges, a reason for which the Regina House in London has been targeted. Now, it is instructive to note that even when Trafigura went to the United States of America, they did not do this ex parte. In other words, they did not do this solely. They tried to get the representation from Ghana to settle this matter. In fact, it is on record, according to the judgment details, that they dispatched a copy of the service to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration, of which the Foreign Minister, Shirley Ayokobuchi, is quote on record to have received the notification or the service. It's unclear what might have happened at the ministry there, but clearly our Attorney General has conceded that we are indeed in default. Mm. Now, there's a bigger case here. Okay. Of what then Ghana had signed onto in terms of the agreement, which is now being much more explosive than the other details that we've learnt of, which is the fact that when Ghana was entering this deal with the Trafigura's Ghana Power Company Limited, they in fact went ahead, and I'm talking about the Republic of Ghana, to waive our sovereign immunities. So Trafigura then in the United States says they want to draw the court's attention to the fact that the Republic of Ghana cannot be protected by any form of diplomatic or sovereign immunities, simply because the country cannot claim any immunities under the Foreign Service, the Foreign Sovereignty and Immunities Acts of the United States. The court upheld that indeed the Republic of Ghana, which is the first respondent in this case in the U.S., signed onto the waiver. So in other words, we waived our diplomatic immunity, waived our sovereign immunity to allow for the trial of this case, which means that once the court in the U.S. is upholding whatever it is that the U.K. had found and awarded, Ghana's properties are liable for liquidation if indeed the petitioner, in this case, Trafigura's Ghana Power Generation Company, decides to target some of our assets in the U.S., and as they've done in the U.K., more of them, to liquidate their money.
Quite interesting revelation there. We'll get to that on this particular program. Meanwhile, Vice President of Imani, we understand this evening, is saying that the Trafigura requires a more serious probe into reason accounting for this judgment debt, recounting historical reasons for which the power purchase agreement was signed. Bright Simmons disputed government's reasons for terminating the contract as he argues that a GPGC gave one of the cheapest rate in the power purchase deal compared to even new contracts signed by the MPP administration.
But remember that our shortfall in power was ranging from 300 megawatts on some days all the way to 1,000 megawatts on very bad days. So 107 megawatts will solve all the problems, but it will solve some problems. To do that, because it's a fast-track solution, they don't want to bear all the risk, which is what some power plants do, get their own fuel and the rest of it. And they wanted government to essentially hide them to produce power and pay them as they produce the power. That is often called a tolling plant.
Right.
So essentially, the government provides the fuel, the government provides the land, everything else. And this is very similar to what we did with Ameri and some other plants of that nature. And even with the established power plants in Ghana, sometimes the situation is such that the government still is responsible for fuel and other inputs, and the company or the power producer then charges us what is often called a capacity charge.
Mm.
In this case, it was called a capital recovery charge because, in essence, it also included the cost of financing the power plant and the fact that they were not going to charge a separate variable charge. So essentially, it was a single charge. Government provides them with fuel, government provides them with the land, government facilitates the line system. When all that is done, they produce the power, and for every unit of power they produce, often measured in kilowatts hour or megawatts hour, the government pays 3.7 cents. Now, here is where the problem arises. One, the power plant was not excessively expensive. On a per unit basis, the capacity charge or the capital recovery charge of 3.7 cents per kilowatt hour was very similar, and in many cases lower than what we're charging or we're paying as capacity charge to other plants. And you can see on the screen a number of power plants that for all of these were paying more than this plant was going to charge us.
Absolutely.
So I've given you examples of them. We're paying for Senate four cents on a capacity charge basis, Sempoa 5 cents, etc. And car power more than 5.6 cents. Secondly, the notion that we have excess power has itself been contested, as you know, because now we know the government is still signing these power deals.
Right.
Right. And around the time we're still signing these power deals, there are companies like AXA that have already signed another deal very recently to put a power plant in Kumasi, Nawumaso, etc. So these were questionable. The energy committee, but here is where it gets important, and this is why we have a judgment debt. The analysis on which the decisions were made were shoddy and flawed. The Energy Commission Secretary, Executive Secretary, for instance, suggested that terminating the plant would cost the country about $80 million. But he hadn't done his due diligence. He hadn't actually looked at the full range of costs that were being incurred. He had also decided, based on analysis that he'd conducted, this was an expensive plant. I've already shown you that the evidence hasn't established that this was more expensive than the other plants. Secondly, the Attorney General's decision, the advice that he had given to the government, was extremely flawed. He had suggested, for instance, that the line system was not done, and because the line system was not done, the company did not even have the power to enter into a contract in the first place, that the plant was a second-hand plant, that because of all these reasons, if the government terminated, it is rather Trafigura that will pay Ghana an early termination charge.
Yeah.
This is still top story. Let's do more on this particular developing story by bringing in ranking member on the Energy Committee, who's also MP for Yape Kosew, John Jinapo, who has also been at the Ministry of Energy before. Grateful to you, John, for joining us here. Now, we understand that we are in danger, our properties are in danger, but why did we decide to waive off our immunity? Can you help us appreciate that point?
Once you enter into a contract with a party, that party can enforce the terms and conditions of the contract. You cannot waive your immunity or provide that guarantee without parliamentary approval. And these agreements went to parliament. And so the first question for me is, why the haste to terminate that agreement when we knew all these conditions were in that agreement? The government and the Attorney General assured us that there was no liability and that we're going to win the case. So I think that this question should fall squarely before Mr. Godfrey Dame and the government of Akufo-Addo for rushing to terminate this deal, even against the advice from the Energy Commission. And guess what?
We'll get there, but I wanted to understand why we had to include that in the contract. You know, why
the
we
standard
said
practice, okay, that when you are signing a contract as a sovereign, once you sign as a sovereign, that sovereign, which is the whole nation, enters into that contract. And so you cannot claim immunity when you sign a contract. It's like if I sign a contract with you, I can't sign a contract with you, put terms and conditions, and at the same time say that I'm immune from the terms and conditions of the contract. And so it's a standard practice, and that is how it ought to be.
Okay. But the Attorney General says, I mean, he is of no fault, and that if Ghana had paid, this would not have been there. But you again are saying that we should blame him. Is it not an issue of being able to pay?
So you ought to find out whether you'll be able to pay before you terminate such an agreement. If I have a contract with you and I terminate it, I must be mindful that it could be judgment debt and I ought to be able to pay. Other than that, the first thing is to negotiate. And don't forget, GPGC made every effort to sit around with government to renegotiate the contract. But because of political decisions, some family and friends of the president insisted that they cannot work with some people from GPGC, and it was terminated. And so when we assume office as a government, we would investigate this termination and ensure that those who caused this huge financial loss, they are held liable. And I'm telling you, from the information I'm getting, when the MPP leaves office and the NDC assumes office, there will be more of such exposés. There's a lot going on they don't want to tell us. They are sitting on the information. And when they are booted out, Ghanaians will get to know that it is worse than we even thought of.
You sit on the Energy Committee of Parliament, and I'm sure that when all of this was happening, they came to the committee, or probably you had wind of it. What reason did they give you for the termination? Exactly what reason did the country give before we terminated that particular contract?
They couldn't give any reasonable reason. Their reason was that on termination, wouldn't pay any money, and that it was going to save the state money, and that government and Ghana had grounds to terminate the agreement without paying any money. Don't forget, this matter went to court. Government and the Attorney General contested GPGC's claim. Indeed, government was even trying to claim money rather from GPGC. So when government was terminating this agreement, it believed that it was doing so and the government wouldn't pay any money. But today, we are paying $134 million. And as we speak, they are now going after our assets in the UK and in the United States. But like I was telling you, while government is telling us that we don't need this power plant, they've gone to sign a 205 megawatts with AXA with similar terms for more than 20 years. And so you could have just kept GPGC, use it or renegotiate with them with a better tariff and offset all these payments. But you cancel one contract because of your own selfish reason, turn around to sign another contract of 205 megawatts with AXA Energy. You can check from ECG's website.
But why do you say their own selfish reasons when you say that they did not give you any reason for cancellation?
I am telling you that this termination was because of a family feud between some family members of the president on one hand and the other. And when we assume office, you will get to know the real truth and the rationale behind this termination. They did not terminate the contract because they have Ghana's interest at heart. Because they wanted to teach somebody a lesson. They extended their own family problems into governance and terminated this contract. And today, you and I, and the painful thing is that it is the NDC government under President Mahama that will inherit this debt, which is currently accruing interest. They would have to pay this money. Those who caused the problem, those who caused this mess, they are leaving office 7th January. And we would have to come and inherit this mess.
But why do you want to wait till you come to power when you are in the energy on the energy committee and can do something? What will your committee do now that this issue is raging?
We have done everything possible. What is happening is that this government is broke. They don't even have money to buy fuel for the thermal plants. I just saw a letter from WAPCO. They have reduced gas flows from the pipeline and threatening to shut down the pipeline by 7th of next month because government of Ghana has failed to pay for the pipeline. And so before you terminate, you ought to take so many things into consideration. You just don't get up and terminate a contract knowing that it has serious legal ramifications. We met them as a committee and asked, why are you not paying the money? The ministry told us the Minister of Finance was negotiating with GPGC and Trafigura. So even the facts before the Mines and Energy Committee is proving to be deceptive. Fortunately, we are resuming on the 3rd. We will file the necessary processes to ensure that the right thing is done. Okay. But you know, this government is a lame duck government now.
Okay.
They have just 3 months to leave office. And I don't see anything better coming out of this government.
Okay, stay with me. Let me bring in Lawyer Kuku Painter, who is a private legal practitioner. Lawyer, so, I mean, there was an arbitration award in the United Kingdom. This company has gone to the United States of America to secure another judgment. I mean, can that judgment then put our properties in the UK at risk? We know they've taken over the Regina Height, the Regina House. But are we saying that, or can we be on the tenterhooks that the rest of the properties are at stake?
Well, quite naturally. I mean, once you've got a judgment debt, the next thing is for the judgment creditor to enforce the judgment by any legal means possible. And I'm certain that that's exactly what the judgment creditor is doing. And of course, as I understand it, they've already been in court and the court has made an order in their favor to go into execution in the way that they are doing. And of course, I have reasonable cause to believe that it's just a question of time before they are able to enforce the judgment completely, unless, of course, as between the parties, they are able to reach some further agreement or settlements and so forth and so on. But it's a matter of course that they will proceed to the extent that the law permits them.
So what are the available options for Ghana to prevent this from happening?
Obviously, once the properties are there, they will proceed. But like you're saying, this one turns on negotiations. post-judgment negotiations, I mean, the parties would always have a way of sitting down, subject to terms and conditions, and so forth and so on. Even when you've got a judgment date, you can still proceed. I mean, there's always room, even on the international law, both also as to court room or court processes and procedures for the parties to enter what we call post-judgment terms. So there's no end to the possibilities of opportunities that the parties can come to. And this is not too unusual. I mean, what's going on is not too unusual. So, I mean, there's always room for that kind of arrangement to be reached as between the parties to the judgment. Yes, so...
I get that you would advise government to go and negotiate to prevent the company from taking over the entire properties.
Oh, quite, they do it. Possibly even as we're speaking, they are doing it. I mean, come on, these things, they just don't leave it like that. It's only when negotiations are breaking down and so forth and so on. But what really goes on while these things are going on, it's like the duck you see gliding on the surface of the water. There's a lot of paddling underneath and beneath the water. So I believe even now that we're speaking, there are a lot of things that are going on which are not in the public domain. And it's only when it breaks down completely that these things find their way into the papers or into the media. So I believe that something is taking place even as we're speaking.
We do understand that even the High Commissioner's car can be taken away from him at this moment that we're talking. Is there a possibility that could happen, that his car can even be taken from him? And again, wouldn't that bring about any diplomatic row between us, Ghana, and the origin of the company?
This is a question of a debt, a liability. Obviously, I mean, depending on what is at stake, number one, there cannot be a row, like you put in it. The High Commissioner's car is that of the Republic of Ghana, and it is a matter. But, I mean, there are limits to properties that can be taken into execution, even on the domestic law, unless, of course, they want to make a complete nuisance of this whole power that has been given to them. I don't believe it will come as low as to attach the High Commissioner's car, being a car belonging to the Republic of Ghana. I mean, I don't believe it comes low as that. But in theory, yes, I mean, they can do that. But I don't believe it comes low as that. Because the car is a what value really will it have? I mean, unless it comes to the nuisance level, there are things that we can do for the nuisance value.
Lord, I'm grateful. I'm grateful to you for joining. Let me bring in John Jinapo again. So, John, you mentioned earlier that WAPCO is threatening to shut down the pipeline. Exactly how much do they say Ghana owes them?
For 11 million thereabout.
Come again on that.
I'm saying that from what I've seen, I think it's about $11 million thereabout that government has been, that government's unable to pay. I have the letter, just 1 minute, 1 second. The amount is $12.18 million out of this outstanding amount by that. So $12 million outstanding, and that if that is not paid, WAPCO would shut the pipeline.
And this letter was signed when and was sent to who?
It was signed August 20th, 2024, reference D4.Z.5-21756, the Chief Executive Officer, Ghana National Petroleum Commission, Petroleum House, Chema Accra, attention, Mr. Joseph Dazi. And the headline is, or the subject is, immediate suspension of uninterruptible transportation services on August 20th. So as we speak, they've limited the gas line capacity, and that if this continues, by September 6th, 2024, failing which, firm transportation services to GNPC would be at risk of suspension on September 7th. At 05 o'clock hours GMT.
Okay.
So that is a threat we are facing. If we do not pay this 12 million by 7th of September, they would shut down the pipeline completely for both gas from Nigeria and reverse flow of gas from the west to Tema.
I'm grateful to you. John Jinapo is ranking member on the Mines and Energy Committee of Parliament. This has been Top Story. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Up next is Newsnight with MFA Apewu.